I've seen over the years how businesses can differentiate their products and services with an incredible approach to customer experience. And I believe when you look at customer experience as something that's not just about responding to emails and customer questions, but also about driving company strategy, that you can turn a one-time buyer into a lifelong fan and brand advocate.
I'm Amy Porterfield, ex-corporate girl turned CEO of a multi-7-figure business. But it wasn't all that long ago that I lacked the confidence, the budget, and the time to focus on growing my small but mighty business. Fast forward past many failed attempts and lessons learned, and you'll see the business I have today. One that changes lives and gives me more freedom than I ever thought possible. One that used to only exist as a daydream. I created the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies to help you do the same. If you're an ambitious entrepreneur or one in the making who's looking to create a business that makes an impact and a life you love, you're in the right place, friend. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode of Online Marketing Made Easy. I'm your host, Amy Porterfield, and as always, I'm so glad you're here. In today's episode, I'm going to be sharing strategies for achieving a top-notch customer experience in the online business world. So at this point, it's hard to believe, but I've been doing this for 15 years, and I don't know how that happened. Blows my mind, but here's where I'm going with this. If you told me 15 years ago that I'd have a thriving business that even has a customer experience team and a badass one at that, and even furthermore, that I'd be teaching my audience some tried and true strategies from that said customer experience team, I'd call your bluff. I share all this to say that I see you, my friend. I see you keeping your nose to the grindstone and making it happen and wearing all the hats in your business, including customer experience. I was there too. I remember when I was the person answering every single email in my help desk. And I also know what it takes to grow it bigger, to get yourself out of it and grow a team that can support you. But know that it takes time. And I believe that you can have an amazing customer experience team that supports you and your students and gets you out of the weeds of everyday back and forth emails, because there's bigger things I know you want to do. You want to create your courses and your memberships and your masterminds and create all the content that goes into all your trainings. And I know you want to get on stage and launch that podcast. There's so much you want to do. And so there's some things that you won't be able to do as you grow your business. And over time, as your business grows, you won't be able to answer every help desk ticket that comes in, and you're going to need a team. And hopefully you'll remember this episode and you'll come back to it and you'll listen again when you're ready so that you can make it happen. But no matter where you are in your journey of building your business, I want you to listen to this episode and either take action right away because you're ready, or put it in your back pocket, remember the lessons you've learned here, and when the time is right, you pull it back out and you say, let's go. I think it's important to dedicate an episode to this topic, because I've seen over the years how businesses can differentiate their products and services with an incredible approach to customer experience. And I believe when you look at customer experience as something that's not just about responding to emails and customer questions, but also about driving company strategy, that you can turn a one-time buyer into a lifelong fan and brand advocate. So that's another thing. Sure, you want to get out of the weeds of answering emails in the help desk, but customer experience can be so much more. And I can honestly say that my beautiful customer experience team has elevated what we do in terms of supporting the company and our students. And I'm going to share some of that today. So for the first time ever, I want to shine a light on this very important department and take you behind the scenes. Now, choosing a favorite department is a bit like asking parents to choose their favorite child. It just can't be done. And truth be told, I actually don't have a favorite department on my team. And here's why. When I hire for any department on my team, I look for a cultural fit. And there would never be a phrase uttered by someone I would hire that would say, well, that's not my job, or that's not my department, or that's out of my wheelhouse, or anything like that. That means everyone on my team is a little bit like a Swiss Army knife. They're curious, growth-minded, always eager to lend a hand where needed. I don't want them spread too thin. I don't want them to have to do all the things all the time. But I want each person that comes into my company, including me, to be willing to step in if needed, to be willing to lend a helping hand to another department if they are capable of jumping in and supporting. My customer experience department really exemplifies this mindset and culture. This department has evolved over the years to handle so much more than just responding to emails and helping my students, which is important, but they do so much more. They're the brilliant minds behind many of the systems and workflows that keep my business running smoothly. For example, when my signature program, Digital Course Academy, is live, I send out weekly emails to students who are enrolled in the course, but I don't send these out in real time. My customer experience department has built workflows in my email service provider to automate the entire process so that those emails hit at the perfect time to the right people. Some other responsibilities they manage are things like delivering bonuses during my launches. So if there's a fast action bonus in the middle of the launch, they set up that whole workflow, making sure it goes to the right people at the right time. In addition, they're leading my concierge sales team, they're reporting on webinar attendance numbers, and they're running my scholarship program. Beyond that, they serve as a communication bridge to other departments by creating internal documents so that everyone in my business is aligned with my offers and launch schedule. If you're curious about the specifics regarding what my customer experience team manages during my launches, I had a great chat with my director of customer experience. His name is Josh, in episode 515, and it's called Behind the Scenes of My Latest DCA Launch, The Highs, Lows, and Magical Moments. So I'll pop a link to that episode in the show notes. So if you go to amyporterfield.com/663, all the links to this episode will be found there. So Josh leads my customer experience team as the director, and he oversees two incredible customer experience managers, Corey and JV. And I also have a customer experience coordinator, Christine, and a VA, Shira, and a group of part-time contractors who I bring on board specifically for our launches and busy times. Now, I just covered a lot of projects and people, and I realize at this point you might be thinking, Amy, all this sounds really specific to your business. How does listening to this episode apply to me? Well, I'm glad you asked, because in this episode, I'm not diving into the details of each specific project I just mentioned. Instead, what I'm excited to share with you are the underlying strategies that my customer experience team uses to manage their time, avoid overwhelm, and crush all these responsibilities. So regardless of how you've structured your business, I've handpicked four key strategies from my customer experience team that are adaptable to any project you undertake. I'm also going to explore how they can help you set up your success, even if you're starting as a team of one. So let's not wait any longer to dive in, because I know no matter what stage of business you're in, you're going to find massive value in this episode today. So while I was talking to my customer experience team about this episode, I saw how every strategy they shared has evolved over the years to set my business up for success. Okay, so let's dive into the different strategies that I want to share with you today. This first one, it's especially good. Here it is. Start the day with a clear understanding of your main goal, the projects on your plate, and the time they'll require to accomplish. Now, I know you could say this strategy works for anything, but just think about it through the lens of a customer experience team. So my customer experience team applies this by knowing their primary goal every morning is to make sure all customer emails are responded to within a 24-hour timeframe. So this goal is specifically set up to establish a high standard of customer service excellence, but it also prevents my team from getting bogged down and spending their whole day answering emails, because There's other things that this team can do to help move the business forward. Again, it's not just about answering a bunch of emails. So every morning, they allocate a specific time block to dive into the inbox in Help Scout. So Help Scout is the software tool we use for customer support in my business at this time. We've used a few different ones, but we've been on Help Scout for a while now, and I love it. They block this time on their calendar so no one schedules meetings with them. This ensures they keep their main goal front and center when starting the workday. In the morning, they are in the inbox answering emails so that they could stick to their goal of answering all emails within 24 hours. So during this process, they prioritize and sort emails. Sort is an important word there. They prioritize and sort emails that came in over the last 24 hours. They do this using a tagging system that allows us to track the type of response an email needs. So these tags also allow us to track the volume of emails we get during the year. So some examples of the tags that they use are things like urgent, billing questions, and content questions. So once all the emails are tagged, they have a clear view of the inbox volume for the day. So this helps determine how long it will take to respond to customers. So then my CX director jumps into Slack, which is our internal team communication tool, and shares updates on the number of unassigned emails they have for the day, how many each member has personally taken on, and he notes any emails that have been unattended for over 24 hours. So this allows everyone on the team to get on the same page and provides a central place where questions, ideas, or comments from the whole CX team can be shared. So it's kind of like they all just get on the same page in the morning, every morning. Now, once my customer experience team tackles the inbox for the day, they'll jump into other projects and responsibilities that are assigned to them. So you can see how this 24-hour response goal helps ensure they're protecting their time and not getting sucked into the inbox every day. Because here's one thing that you want to know. As you grow a CX team, if the only job of an employee, what they do 8 hours a day, is answer emails, they're going to get burned out. Because let's be honest, most of the time, the people in your inbox are frustrated, confused, overwhelmed. They need help. Not all the time. We have a Slack channel called Love Letters. And when someone writes in just to tell us how much they love us, we copy and paste that, put it in the Slack channel for the whole company to see, because it's a great reminder that not all emails and correspondence we get are people that are having challenges. But to be honest, the bulk of them are. I mean, when do you write into a help desk? When you need help. So if that employee, the only thing they do for 8 hours a day is answer emails of people that are not necessarily happy, that is not a recipe for a happy employee. So they need to have more responsibility and different things and mix things up so that when they do get into Help Scout and answer those emails, they are in a good place. They are ready to help. They are not burned out. So this system that I just outlined is also a key tool that helps me know when it's time to hire and grow the team. So a question I get asked a lot is, how do you know when it's time to add someone to your team? Well, for CX, by monitoring this data throughout the year, we can pinpoint where our email response times exceeded the 24-hour goal mark. When this happens consistently for a few weeks, it's a clear signal to us that additional help is needed. So understanding these patterns allows us to strategically staff up, knowing if we need another full-time employee or maybe just a contractor during busier times, because the data will tell us. So regardless of whether you have a CX team or you right now have just a virtual assistant, or if it's just you at the moment, I want you to think of a response time goal for your inbox. Again, for us, it's 24 hours. For you, it might be 48 hours, or it might be 10 hours, whatever you want it to be. But that's a really good place to start. Now, as a side note, I would suggest if it's anything over 24 hours that you set up an automated email response, letting people know when to expect a reply from you. So this will cut down on people reaching back out to check if you got their email or not. So this should take just a few minutes to set up, and it's a game changer. So once you set your response time goal, Start to track the number of email replies that exceed this time frame. Notice any patterns you see. Then make a plan to block more time on your calendar so you're available to answer customer emails during higher volume times throughout the year. Now, if you see this as a consistent struggle in your business, make a plan to hire a virtual assistant or a contractor to help. So this is how you start to use data to structure your days and avoid being overwhelmed as your business grows. I believe one of the subtle yet significant hurdles that can kill an entrepreneur's motivation is a lack of direction and not knowing what to work on during the day, during the month, during the quarter, during the year. So while it may sound simple to set this goal response time and just track it, don't skip taking action on this strategy. The clarity that this data will provide your business down the road is golden. All right, moving right along to the second key strategy my customer experience team shared with me is ask one simple question after any task you do. Can this be automated? The goal here is to cut down on repetitive tasks, freeing up time to focus on areas that truly need a human touch. And when it comes to actually setting up these automations in my business, my customer experience team loves the tool Zapier. So for those of you who might not be familiar, and some people say this a little different, I'm just saying Zapier, and it's an online automation software that connects tools such as G Suite, so Google Suite, Slack, ConvertKit, and over 2,000 other apps. So it allows you to create automated workflows called Zaps. So these Zaps perform tasks across different applications based on triggers and actions that you define. Now, if you're rolling your eyes, you're like, whoa, you're losing me. Just stay here for just a second. The cherry on top is that Zapier offers a free-for-life plan that lets you automate up to 100 tasks at no cost. So you can check out all their details at zapier.com/pricing, and it's Z-A-P-I-E-R. And I'm not even an affiliate for them. My team just really loves them so much, and I wanted to share the tool today. We are online marketers, which means we have unique needs. And there are so many options out there for paid media. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where should you go to reach your ideal audience. But here's the thing. Have you thought about LinkedIn ads? LinkedIn ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers, and it allows you to build the right relationships and drive results and reach your customers with meaningful content. You do not want to sleep on LinkedIn ads. And here's the thing, 79% of content marketers said LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. I hear it from so many of my peers, and I know you're doing important work. And with that, you want to make sure that the work you're doing is getting in front of the right people. And that's what LinkedIn ads will allow you to do. So let your marketing efforts connect with the right audience and get a $100 credit on your next campaign. So if you go to linkedin.com/Amy, you can get that $100 credit. So that's linkedin.com/Amy. Terms and conditions apply. I know you're focused on marketing and selling your digital products, but I know many of you also have physical products, and I want to talk about Shopify. Shopify is a user-friendly commerce platform that helps you, my dear online entrepreneur, build an online store and make more sales at any stage of your business. They're the force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other businesses at every size. Let me tell you why Shopify is an online entrepreneur's dream platform. It's because it helps turn your browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout experience. In fact, it converts 36% better compared to other leading e-commerce platforms. Yeah, loving that. And I don't know about you, but as an online entrepreneur, my customer's experience, especially when it comes to checking out, is so important. Plus, not only do they support your customers, they support you as the entrepreneur. Shopify's award-winning help desk is there to support your success through every question and every step of the way. There's a reason Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/madeeasy, all lowercase. So go to shopify.com/madeeasy now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/madeeasy. So an example of how my customer experience team uses a Zap to save time. So this is where I want to just kind of make it real for you so it doesn't feel overwhelming. So they have all the names of the students who enroll in my courses automatically added to what we call a master buyer list. So this is housed in a spreadsheet on Google Drive. So when a student completes their enrollment on my sales page for any of my courses, a tag is added to their contact record in my email service provider. So my CX team has this tag set as a trigger inside Zapier. So based on this trigger, Zapier completes the action of automatically adding the student's name to the spreadsheet. So this spreadsheet is helpful for my customer experience team to reference when answering support tickets because they're able to have one central place to look and see if a student has successfully enrolled and to check off if they've been added to my Facebook community. So it cuts down the need to log into multiple tools to check a student's status. If they're on the Google Doc, they're a student, they are allowed to get into the Facebook community. Now, I know that was a little more technical than what I usually get into on this podcast. So if you don't follow along perfectly, don't worry. Zapier has incredible support documentation and you can search for whatever you need to make something happen in your business. But I want to stress that this strategy is less about what tools you use to help you automate and save time. And while my team loves Zapier, many other tools can help you accomplish these specific tasks related to your automation. The main point here is that regardless of the workflows you set up or the automation tools that you use, you always want to be asking, can this be automated when you find yourself doing repetitive tasks in order to save time and scale efficiently and, also important, not burn out your customer experience team with repetitive tasks that they get just burned out from and don't want to do anymore. So that part is important as well, taking care of your CX team. Okay, so now that you have automation on your mind, let's move right along to strategy number three, use guided responses to increase efficiency and accuracy when replying to customers. This is such a big one. So guided responses, notice I didn't say canned. I hate the word or phrase canned responses. They feel too static, they feel too robotic, and they lack empathy. And when you're working in a help desk, remember the keyword is help. People need your support. So a canned response that everyone gets is just really frustrating to most people, right? Can I get an amen? So guided responses are pre-written answers to the most commonly asked questions or issues my team sees come into the inbox. We initially create and organize these responses in a Google Doc. Then we load these guided responses into Help Scout, which is, again, our customer support ticketing software. I want to stop here and say the reason why they're in a Google Doc first is because there's like over 200 of them at this point. I started all alone with a blank Google Doc, started to think of every question we would get with our programs, and I wrote all the answers to them. And then when Josh came on, he fully took it over from me, which is so cool. But I started it and I feel very, Josh is going to laugh if he hears this episode. He knows I'm always like, are the responses in a Google Doc first? Because if you just load them into your software, whatever software you use, and you don't have a master doc, it's very hard to review everything and see the big picture. Also, you never know what's going to happen with that software. We don't own it. It can be taken away like that, and we lose every guided response. And we spent hours, hours, and hours writing them. So protect your information with something you own before you put it into any software. So it might feel redundant, but it's critical in my opinion. So it starts in a Google Doc, then we copy and paste and load them into the software. This feature to load guided responses right into the software means that when we respond to a customer, instead of writing out each answer, we simply select, like click on the relevant guided response. And with a click of a button, it automatically populates the copy into our reply email. It's a method that not only saves time, but also ensures consistency and efficiency in our customer experience. So the whole team is answering in a very similar way. However, it's a guided response, meaning I want my team to change it up, tweak it to make sure that it fits what the customer is asking. And let's say the customer also says, P.S., thanks so much for looking at my question. I've got 3 kids under the age of 5, and I'm feeling overwhelmed right now. So anything you could do to help me with this tech issue is greatly appreciated. So in the guided response, when Corey replies back, I want him to say something like, hey, P.S., we're sending all the good vibes your way for your 3 little ones. It can't be easy, but you got this, or something like that. A human touch is very important to me in my CX department. So that's why they're not canned. Just the word guided makes sure that Josh and Corey and JV, my team, is thinking, let's put a personal touch to this. So these guided responses that are pulled into the software, this is not unique to Help Scout. You can usually set up guided responses in any customer support software. In fact, you can even do this in your Gmail right now. So this means that no matter the size of your business or the tools you use, you can implement the system. Now, if you're considering integrating guided responses within your team, here's some great news. Tools like ChatGPT make this process even more streamlined. So about 10 years ago, when I started this process, obviously I was sitting at a blank Google Doc and then typing in every response. But if I had ChatGPT, dang, that would be awesome. So in my experience, this is one of the most effective applications of AI. You'll use the AI tool to generate a base response, and then you'll step in it and just tweak it and tailor it and make it exactly what you want it to be. Then you put it into your guided response. So anything that's put into the guided response document, it's not just directly pulled out of AI. We started with AI, then we added our own kind of look and feel to that message. And then when Corey or Josh or JV pull it into an email, I want them to even tweak it a little bit more based on the person that they are engaging with. So the human touch is important here. But I do want to say about AI, I want to share 3 customizable prompts that you can use with ChatGPT to craft effective guided responses. Remember, you'll want to tailor these with your own details, but these frameworks are a great place to start. So here's the first prompt you can customize and pop into the ChatGPT to create a guided response if you see students having issues finding your trainings often. So I'm going to put these in the show notes so you don't have to remember them, so you can just copy and paste. But here's the first one. My students occasionally encounter difficulties accessing a weekly live video I host. Can you create a helpful and empathetic response explaining the common steps to troubleshoot this? Please include guidance on finding the video pinned to the Facebook group and tell them to make sure they've connected to Wi-Fi rather than data on their phone if the video is not streaming well. Also, add a note offering further assistance if these steps don't resolve the issue. The second prompt helps create a reply for students who write about feeling behind in your course. So you will want to customize this with your course details and then add it to ChatGPT. So let me read this one. Write a compassionate and constructive response for students who have not been able to start my course and feel behind due to their life circumstances. Their response should acknowledge their concerns and provide suggestions on how to make the most of the course materials. Include the reminder students can go at their own pace because they have lifetime access to the course. Add in advice to download the step-by-step PDFs and take advantage of personalized support options like the weekly Q&As I host. End their response, inviting them to reach out with specific areas they're struggling with and tell them I am happy to help further. Again, I'm going to copy and paste these in the show notes. And then here's a prompt that will help you have a standard answer to ensure students can log into your course easily. So try customizing this and adding it to ChatGPT. I need a guided response for technical support questions related to my students not able to log into their course that's hosted on Kajabi. The response should be easy to understand for non-technical users. Include this login link and steps to check their spam folder for the email containing their password details. Provide an option for them to reply if the problem persists. So Kajabi, Searchy, whatever you use, you can put it in there. And if you're building your business on your own without a team, I highly recommend starting a Google Doc for guided responses now. Anytime you answer a question in your support inbox more than once, add it to the doc as a guided response. So this not only helps you answer students' questions faster, but it also is a smart way to set the stage for when you bring on a virtual assistant, which is going to cut down significantly on training them. So start now, my friends. All right. If you're listening right now, I want to thank you for sticking with me until the end because you've made it to the fourth and final strategy of the episode, and that's to set up an effective quality control or QC process. This one's a biggie, so don't leave me yet. So on my team, the customer experience department is responsible for triple checking every email that goes out to my students. So if you're a team of one, consider swapping this task with a peer or finding a friend or family member to do this with you. But you've got to have a second set of eyes. So having a QC process ensures you always have at least two sets of eyes on email copy, send dates, links within your email to avoid any mistakes in communication. Because we've all sent out emails with challenges. Even this process I'm going to share with you, mistakes have gotten past our team. We're human, right? But more often than not, everything is accurate. The more often you send out emails with broken links, wrong dates, misinformation, the less people are going to trust you over time. So it's really, really important that you avoid as many mistakes as possible in your communication. So my team has a system for this where they use a QC checklist. So here's a quick rundown of what's on that list. So number one, they send a test email to themselves and make sure everything looks good when it's delivered. Number two, check for grammar errors, spelling errors, and red flag copy. So this includes any emojis that don't load properly or any terms we avoid in our business. So we have certain terms, certain words, certain phrases that just aren't appropriate to use. So we have a list of those and we check against the list. Number three, make sure every link is working and going to the right place. You'd be amazed how many times a link is not working correctly. Number four, match event dates and times with our live events calendar. That's the worst. And it's happened to us where emails have gone out with the wrong dates. So we're really careful about that now. Number five, cross-reference our email broadcast calendar for any scheduling conflicts. This is important to make sure we don't have other emails going out on the same day to the same audience. Typically, when your business gets big and you have a lot of team members, one team member over here might be sending out an email to current students, but another person on the team is sending out our weekly podcast email. And in the past, when we didn't cross-check, those emails went out like 20 minutes after each other, which is ridiculous. It's just too many emails in one day, too close to each other. So cross-reference if other emails are going out. And number six, check to ensure the email is not going to anyone who's unsubscribed. That's a big one. So these items might be a little different depending on how you run your business, but a good QC checklist is a must-have document. And assigning a person to be the head QC person is really important as well. You want to make sure that person knows this is your responsibility and they need to slow down and take the time to actually QC and not be pulled in a million different directions. So incredibly important. All right, my friend, we are at the end of our journey today. But before we part ways, let's quickly huddle up and recap these strategies from my customer experience team. First, begin each day with clarity, knowing your main goal, understand the projects ahead, and allocate your time wisely. So this simple practice cuts through the noise, helping you to focus on what truly matters. Yes, you can use this strategy anywhere and everywhere in your business, but knowing how long you're going to spend on getting your emails addressed and knowing how long your response time is going to be is so important here. Second, make automation a top priority. Every time you complete a task, ask yourself, can this be automated? This mindset shift is crucial for efficiency, allowing you to focus on growth-oriented activities rather than getting bogged down in routine tasks that will likely burn you out and your team. Third, invest in your internal systems. Setting up comprehensive documentation and using guided responses not only streamlines your customer interactions, but also ensures consistency and accuracy in your business. And finally, implement a quality control process for your email campaigns and broadcasts. So this step is vital in maintaining the high standard of communication your customers expect and deserve. So take action and make these strategies your own so that you can build a business free from overwhelm and one that's a powerhouse of impact and efficiency in the world. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Online Marketing Made Easy. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.